Investing 2.0 for January 26, 2024, episode 165, hashtag this. Hello, everybody. Welcome once again to the official board meeting of podcasting 2.0. That's right. This is the boardroom. It's the board meeting. And we are the only boardroom that meets on weekends in casual clothing. That's so true. Everything going on with the namespace, podcastindex.org, all the happenings at podcastindex.social. I'm Adam Curry, here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama, the man who's at the root of all your AP Bridge posts. Say hello to my friend on the other end, the one and only Mr. Dave Jones.
Fresh off the bag of popcorn. All finished.
Wait.
Just in time for the show.
You didn't even pop your own? You got a bag of popcorn?
Yeah. I don't have time to pop. I got stuff to do.
Yeah. Well, you're the pod sage. You're very busy. Lots of stuff. Lots going on. Lots happening. Yes. The man about town.
Well, I mean, you were flying yourself somewhere.
Yes. Yeah. I apologize.
Did you fly to the border? Did you fly to the border to check things out?
Oh, Eagle Pass. Go check it out. See what's happening. I actually did look to see if there was an airfield near Eagle Pass, and there is not.
No.
Because I would have gladly flown down there. But now I'm reading that they expect 700,000 trucks.
Oh.
This seems like a lot of trucks.
I think anything over, anytime you get into the thousands when you're talking about trucks, even 1,000, it's a lot of trucks.
It's a lot of trucks. A lot of trucks. Yeah, everyone's pretty jacked in Texas about this.
Oh, yeah. They're ready to fight. Rolling the sleeves up.
You know, that's what I'm worried about.
It's me
like,
too.
What are we fighting? And all I see the mainstream do is like, oh, this is God's army. It's white Christian nationalists. I'm like, I'm not so sure about that.
No, I don't think there's that's
not accurate. Not accurate.
Where'd you go?
So my buddy Vic Pepe, who I've known for 35 years. He used to be in the music business. He, back in the South Jersey days, writing and producing for Alice Cooper, Skid Row, some Bon Jovi stuff, Baton Rouge, you know, a whole bunch of hair bands, the Nelson Twins.
The Nelson
Twins. Oh, yeah. But
Nelson, I forgot about those
let
guys.
Me tell
they
you,
had great
they
hair.
Had, they had great hair. They had some pretty good songs, too. They had some hits. Nelson
yeah,
Boys were okay.
Oh. God, right. What were their hits? What, name one of their hits.
See, now you put me on the spot.
No,
let's do it. Let's do it.
I can see their music video in my mind with them.
I always
on like some sort of.
Yeah, let me see. The Nelson, was it twins or brothers? I can't remember if they called. I think they might have called the Nelson. They were just Nelson. Ah,
Nelson. Yeah.
Yes. It was. This is one of their big hits. Oh, the video version. Hey, let's play a song. Okay. Remember this one, Can't Live Without You?
That's it?
Yeah.
Can't Live Without You. Yeah, that's it.
Check her out.
Hey, check her out, man. Yeah.
Fine,
oh, yeah. Let's play this song.
Check
oh, yeah.
her out.
Look, they're in their little studio.
Let's see. Three, four.
There it is. Every classic anthem starts like that. Hey!
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, like that and extreme More Than Words.
I always get them exactly confused. Yeah, more. Well, this was also a hit. The remember this one? After the Rain?
Don't humor me.
Hold on, let me get past the concept, familiar. The concept part of the video.
<Concept.
laughs> Here we go.
Everybody wants to be Thriller.
Yeah. What was this?
Ooh. I don't remember the Native American vibe.
No, that had something to do with it. All right, come on. Come on, guys. Play the song. Here it is. Oh, they look so pretty. The Nelson twins are so pretty. There it is. After the rain's gone.
I do remember this.
The same. Bum, 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 the bass. Bum, 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 bum. Anyway.
Isn't this Ricky Nelson's kids?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly who okay. they are. They're really nice guys, by the way. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, okay. So I would be part of the crew. We'd hang out there and hang out in the studio and mess with each other all day long, you know, playing pranks.
It was.
And so anyway, Vic got a clue and got out of the music business
No. Yeah, and he got into, this is a great business he's in. So he sells IT solutions to companies. I guess he'd probably be selling to you and the CEO or, you know, maybe the CIO.
This is the porn guy. This is not the porn guy. This is your old buddy.
That's another one of my great friends. No, this is not the porn guy. Thanks, Dave. Okay. No.
Sorry.
You know, so he'll sell like, you know, Microsoft Teams, you know, now with AI integration you know, some other call center stuff. But then
he's a channel partner.
Yes. And so he has the relationship with the company, takes him out to golf, you know, all the fun stuff. And then his company manages the actual implementation partners. Mm-hmm. But he gets, as long as that company is still paying a, you know, a per seat license for whatever it is, he gets a piece of that for in perpetuity. Yeah.
I know these guys.
This is great. This is a great business. I'm like, holy crap.
This is the same business that all the voiceover IP guys use. So it's like they get you in and they sell you a white label voiceover IP service. And they don't care. They have like 10 different providers on the back end.
Absolutely.
They're just gonna sell you something.
Yeah. Whatever you want.
They're gonna,
whatever you want. Yeah. So he told me this unbelievable story. So somehow he got into the Federal Reserve System, which, you know, is like 12, 15 banks, who knows. Yeah. And so he's, and the request there is to reduce their overall technology spend by $12 million a year. And so he gets a spreadsheet. Okay. Guess how much the Federal Reserve, I hope I'm not blowing anything here for him, but guess how much the Federal Reserve System spends on software annually across all the banks, their system.
On software.
Yeah, software licenses and stuff.
I'm going to say $75
million. $800 million.
Oh my God.
I'm like, 12 million. That's just what falls on the floor in the morning. Are you kidding me? You can find that.
I was off by 10X.
Isn't that crazy?
Oh my God. It's like Brewster's Millions. I wouldn't even be able to know. Like, I wouldn't know how to spend that.
What are they using?
If you said, here's $850 million, go spend it. I'm like, I don't think I can.
So then I'm showing him, you know, Boostagram Ball. I'm showing it. You know, the lit stuff. I'm showing him how the streaming sats work. And he's like, well, who implemented all this? I said, you know, the guys and the gals. Yeah, but who did it? I said, well, it's like, you know, Lightning was a bunch of other people over there and RSS is here and we do namespace. And his mind is like boggled. But then when I show how, you know, and so you're listening here and then the Satoshis come out here. He's like, what? But couldn't you do that with dollars? I said, no.
No,
you can't. If we could, I'm sure we would. Then you can't do it.
Because every 1,000 sats that goes in, 900 of those would go to paying their software license.
Software license.
Yeah. Would go to a seat of Office 365.
It's just crazy. But anyway, so yeah. So instead of driving 5.5 hours, I got a safety pilot and we flew up. Takes exactly 1 hour from the airport, 6 minutes from my house. Oh, you can't beat that.
Oh,
you just can't beat it. It's so beautiful.
Jealous, yeah.
So,
yeah,
now, of course, nice. It's 16 gallons an hour of gasoline. The slurp slurps a little bit more than the car.
Yeah, that's not a sip. That's a slurp.
Yeah, yep. But we flew out after No Agenda on Thursday. So it was in the dark. That was cool. Yeah, that was very cool.
Have you flown in the dark much?
Well, I did to get my initial license. I haven't flown in the dark here in Texas. It's just beautiful. Okay. It's beautiful.
Oh, I bet.
Oh,
the
man.
Lights and everything. Oh, yeah. What, yeah. Are you high? I mean, how high are you? 15,000?
No, it's not pressurized. So 9,000 feet.
Oh, okay. All right.
So it's just, you know, just where it's comfortable, where you're not like, hey, I feel kind of spacey. I'm getting hypoxia.
So you don't need pressure. You just need some heat. That's about it.
Yeah. Heat. Well, it's fully air conditioned, you know, has cup holders, you name it.
Nice.
Sirius XM radio. Parachute. CarPlay, Android Auto, whatever you want. We actually can sync your iPad to the system.
Nope. That way you can get your Podverse chapters.
Yep. Yeah. on the dashboard.
On the dashboard. Yeah. At 9,000 feet.
That's right. That's right. Oh man. So anyway. So and you know just in all the it just I think I'd completely spaced on it to tell you that we need to change everything. And so then on a dime, you flip it around and you contact our already scheduled guest today. I should bring him in here. Who was kind enough to flip his schedule around. And we are very proud to have with us the official Podcasting 2.0 consultant. Ladies and gentlemen, our other friend on the other end, Mr. Alex Gates.
Hello, gentlemen.
Yeah, you sound so professional.
Oh, you sound great, Alex. Yes.
Remember the first time we had him on?
Yeah.
Oh, it's Alex Gates, and he's pretty cool, guys.
you have honey tones now. This is great.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, you sound great,
he
man.
Does, he really this. Does. He has kind of a buzz. He's got the big bottom sound on him. What mic are you using?
It's the Electro Voice RE320, I believe.
Oh, that's the Adam Curry mic.
Yeah. And the Dave Jones mic, yes.
I thought you were on a SM7B.
No, I'm on the 320.
Oh,
I've always been on the 320.
We're all on kick drum mic. This is a kick drum mic.
Is it?
Yeah.
No wonder you've got bass. You got a deep voice. You got a deeper voice than I've ever heard before.
Yeah. I usually listen to I listen to myself on the old mic, and yeah, I definitely didn't hear it, but I think you're right.
The old mic. That wasn't a mic. Wasn't it like just show beer. What are we drinking?
this is a Liquid Death sparkling water, because for some reason I like to spend like $3 a can
on water. Yeah. Oh, very good. Very good.
Yeah. Sorry about
that. So I think we should start off with this rather interesting news that reached us.
I would like everybody to take out their Bibles.
Yes. Okay. Bring out the book.
And turn to Luke chapter 11, verse 5.
Okay. And what does it say in 11:5?
Luke chapter 11, verse 5 says, then, teaching them more about prayer, he used this story. Suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight, wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread. You say to him, a friend of mine has just arrived for a visit, and I have nothing for him to eat. And suppose he calls out from his bedroom, don't bother me. The door is locked for the night, and my family and I are all in the bed. I can't help you. But I tell you this.
Real scripture, ladies and gentlemen.
It is.
Yeah.
But I tell you this, though he won't do it for friendship's sake, if you keep knocking long enough, he will get up and give you whatever you need because of your shameless persistence.
Does it say that in the Bible? Shameless persistence. I love this.
The NIV says shameless audacity. I think is what it says.
Oh, truer words never spoken.
Won't go away.
Yeah.
So translation is our shameless persistence will eventually annoy everybody into submission, even Apple.
Isn't this where if your son asks you for? You know, for something to eat, would you give him like a dead fish or something, or you know, stinky like rotten
if he
fish?
For bread, would you give him a stone?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there you go. I know my scripture. Well, it happens. Foot in the door without basically by ignoring them. This is very good. I'm very proud. Very proud of our accomplishment. Now, you took a meeting with them yesterday with the Apple team. Can you talk about that? Or, I mean, can you just tell us briefly what happened here? Because it came kind of from all directions. First, it was. Something's happening. And then the floodgates opened up all of a sudden.
Yeah. Ted Hossman had sent an email saying, hey, let's do a meeting. I need to tell you something. And then out of 30 minutes later, my Mastodon timeline started blowing up. Apple's doing transcript tag. So, it was just, Todd started the flood and
Wait, Todd is usually the guy who's like, I can't tell you I'm under NDA.
Todd kind of threw RSS.com under the bus in his
oh really
post about it.
What did he do?
He was like, hey, I heard Apple's doing the transcript tag because RSS sent out an email from a thing that they got from Apple. He's like, he was kind of like, see, like covering his bases. Like,
someone else sent it. I had nothing to do with it.
I'm just stuck in the middle, guys. but anyway, we had a meeting and they just showed me the transcript feature and, just went over some implementation details, talking about like some things that their team has said about things we should be aware of with interpretation of the tag, and then a couple of things that they wanted that they were requesting. Well,
the number one thing they wanted was to be on the modern podcast apps list.
I'm going to put you on modernpodcastapps.com. I don't know if I can get you to nudepodcastapps.com. I mean, that's like,
A special list.
Yeah. You don't just walk in, in here and act like your pod friend. Okay. You got to earn that. But I think, just in general, they did the right thing. I mean, they're a big company with a lot of resources, obviously. They could have easily just said, look,
screw it, iTunes colon transcript.
Or they could have just not done anything at all and just auto-generated all the transcripts and said, you know, that's what you get. You can't do your own transcript. We're just going to auto-generate. I mean, it's what Spotify does and YouTube video.
This is what made me so happy. I even saw in their spec, their spec or whatever they call it, kind of the how to use podcasts, Apple Podcasts. They referred to the namespace, to the GitHub namespace. That was cool.
Yeah, they linked to it on there. Yeah.
So, what are the parameters around this? If you have an existing transcript, it'll flow through. They won't do anything. It'll just happen. And do they from what I've been reading? At 9,000 feet. Excuse me, I have to read a little, some messages here. It appears that they will take your name recognition, so speaker names and stuff, and that'll show up. That'll all work perfectly.
Yeah. So let me go over a little bit of the technical part of this. They did it. It's, I don't know if you've seen it, but they did it very well. I mean, it looks.
No, I haven't seen it.
It looks
yet.
Really good.
I haven't seen it.
It's got the word by word highlighting.
But if it's VTT word by word or
that's
SRT.
That's VTT or SRT both.
Oh, both. Oh, cool.
Yeah, right. Custom font for it. They got speaker labels if those are in there, but only in VTT. You can search the transcript. If there's a pause or music that plays during the show, that you'll get this little
icon,
sort of like I 3-dot indicator saying, "Hey, we're just kind of chilling until the words come back."
Mm-hmm.
It's basically everything you'd expect in a high quality transcript feature. I mean, other 2.0 apps go further, obviously, like PodFriend, TrueFans, go further and show the person tag. And link out to the avatars of the speaker. But I mean, when it comes to honoring just the intent of this one tag, I can't really find anything to criticize. I mean, I think there is room for them to go forward and start to do more of this stuff. And I think by doing this, they've indicated that they're open to do that.
Yes.
I can't really find anything to criticize here. I mean,
they've accepted the namespace. That's the thing that makes me happy. On the other side, I'm also like, okay, so I still want our apps to be super competitive, which they are.
And they will be.
So I want, from my perspective, you know, I'm not like, oh, it's great. Everyone go to Apple. Nope.
I'm not gonna
do that. But I really appreciate the people who are there and who have implemented it in this manner, because that is exactly what you'd hope, and it is exactly what we never expected. Because nothing against Apple per se, but you know, Spotify is the example. They just go, oh no, we're Spotify, we got it all. And I think it's a big FU to Spotify. It's, it also, I'm sure they did this A, because it's kind of low hanging fruit. Seems it also is good because, you know, they're generating it for every podcast. It, I think it kind of spurs people on to do it through their host because you have a lot more control over, over what's happening there. I'm sure their transcripts are great. I don't know what they're using. And it also kind of shows that speaker recognition is hard business, which is why they're not doing it.
Well, they're not doing that. And this, so they've kind of built two things. This is worth talking about for a second. They've built two things here. They built a transcript generation service and this feature into the podcast app. So you can go and grab the transcript that they auto-generate for you. You can edit it and then stick it back in your feed with the RSS tag, with the podcast transcript tag.
Right.
And you have a VTT transcript that was auto-generated for you.
Huh.
And so you can basically just use that thing for free. And they encourage that. I mean, they said that during the meeting. They're like, you know, here's how you do it. You round trip it back through RSS if you want to do this.
So could you even automate that from a podcast hosting company?
I don't think so. And I think there'd probably be, you know, I think there'd probably be terms and stuff like that. But I think I don't know. That'd be kind of weird. But I did ask them, does it work on video podcasts? And this is, you know, something I want to talk to you about, Alex. Because I was thinking about PeerTube. Does this work on video podcasts? They said no. So the transcripts are audio podcast only right now, for now. And they said they really didn't have any plans to make that any different. But I think VTT, that's what PeerTube uses, right?
Yeah, correct.
Okay. And this was kind of odd. I think because I didn't really fully understand the VTT spec that well until this week when I had to go and kind of brush up on things. And I didn't realize until a couple of days ago that how intense this thing is. It has got so much. It's essentially XML in, it's like you take SRT and you embed a style sheet engine and XML and all this stuff into it. It is a crazy big spec with all kinds of stuff. Like you can make, you can control the style of the output of all the captions,
like a markdown type thing.
Markdown, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, for sure. And like it's pretty intense. But from my understanding, I don't know what PeerTube supports when it shows it, but they said that on their side that they're only gonna basically they're just doing speaker labels and that's it.
Yeah, I don't think PeerTube even enforces the speaker labels in any way. It just kind of converts. I think you can upload SRT, so it's like a really basic transcript. And I think it only uses VTT because that's what the browser supports.
Oh, yeah, because you can just stick that right into the like video tag or whatever.
Mm-hmm. We do have Mark Hall's film, Killing Ed, has a VTT transcript. That someone could test with. It's really basic, and I think it's out of sync too. Okay, but it's there. I don't even know if Apple supports HLS video anyway.
I thought they created that stuff. Yeah.
Well, they've created the protocol. I don't know if they support an Apple podcast.
Oh, okay. Okay.
No, that'd be it.
I have no idea. I just don't know.
Did they say anything else? I mean, you definitely felt that there was a hint of, well, this is a start, you know, this is how we'll do stuff, maybe more coming, ..
Well, yeah, I mean, I did get that feeling. I felt like they wanted to play ball, but they with things in the future, but they're
big and slow.
They're slow and they take a lot of time. And honestly, I mean, that's okay. But I mean, I understand. I mean, that's the way things go in a large corporation. And so I asked Ted, I'm like, well, what would your message be to like people in the podcasting 2.0 dev group? And he said, he's like, if I could say anything, I would say that Apple Podcast is a modern podcast app. I want them to think of it that way.
Wow.
That tells me that you know, they want to go forward with other things. So we'll see what happens.
Boosting is next.
That's great. Yeah. But, I mean, I think VTT, I don't know if you agree with this, Alex, but I mean, it's hard to ignore somebody that's got that much. So an app coming in that has that much market share. So it really makes, I think, VTT probably become the default, probably what everybody should be generating by default, since it's really not that much more difficult to generate than SRT.
Yeah, I would agree with that. There's pretty much no reason not to. I mean, there's an argument to be made that we could, maybe some of the apps should favor JSON just because of the word by word timestamps. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, I would agree with that.
Yeah, because then you just get web kind of for free, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just looking to see if Otter outputs VTT. I don't even know. I've never even looked at it. Let me see.
SRT and VTT are so close.
Oh, really?
To each other. I mean, they're so close to each other as far as the actual format goes. I guarantee you, there's some like converter or something like that. But see, you know, on the podcasting 2.0 app side, well, I guess I can't clarified is that anymore, but so in on the, you know, for the apps like from the podcasting 2.0 dev group, those are going to be probably a lot of times using Stephen Crater's Transcriptator library,
right.
And so they can just kind of consume anything and they're going to output whatever. I mean, I don't think the developers really even care at that point what you give them. They're just going to
they can eat it however they want. Yeah, but newsflash, Otter does not do VTT. Mm. Only that's what I've been using, SRT.
Yeah.
So now, this of course begs the question. Do we now get to say that approximately 46% of all downloads are podcast 2.0 apps? Let's be honest about it.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, you know, it's really validating as someone who works so hard in the namespace, because I was listening to Pod News Weekly Review and they were talking about Libsyn, you know, pretty much not caring about podcasting 2.0 features. And it's like, do you want to change the world or do you want Apple to do it for you? And
and there's no coincidences in the kingdom. No sooner had those words been spoken, or they did it. They did exactly that.
What a great that's a great way to put it, Alex. It's like, are you just going to sit back and wait for somebody else to do this stuff for you, or do you want to have a hand in creating it? And that's right. I feel you on that, brother. I mean, I think that they're going to be involved in the way that they can. So one of the things that they requested
was an invite to podcastingnext.social.
No.
Some of them are already there. I mean, I know we got people.
They're lurking. Yeah, they're lurking. One of the things that they talked about was AI was tagging. So they're big on AI tagging. So they want things to be clearly labeled whether or not, and there, if you look on their transcript page, if it's an auto-generated transcript that they created in their system, it's going to say at the bottom, this is auto-generated. And they want it, he was saying that he wanted to extend that if possible by adding, Ted's in the chat.
He's lurking. Quit, let me kick him out.
So he said they want to extend that to the transcript tag. If we can figure out as a group a way to do that well, essentially like put in some sort of generator attribute or something that would say where this transcript came from.
I think I recall a discussion about that on the GitHub. I think actually James might have been talking about that, if I recall correctly. There was something about that.
Yeah, well, there was a tag proposal for just in general saying tagging an entire podcast as this is an AI podcast. like this is an AI generated podcast. And I think that like this would be, you know, what they were saying. And I think it's probably a good idea is that if you extend, if you sort of like, because it's, that's a little bit too broad. I mean, like there's certain aspects of the podcast that could be AI generated that you may, that we may really need to have disclosed. Like perhaps the transcript itself comes from an AI generated kind. And it could be that you're, that could almost be like a disclaimer, like, hey, don't, you know, if we met, if this thing gets wrong.
Yeah.
It came from AI or whatever.
That shouldn't be at the bottom. It should be at the top of the transcript, honestly,
for sure. And then things like the maybe the person tag, maybe there's an attribute in there that says, you know, is this essentially some sort of way to indicate whether or not this is an actual person or some kind of auto generate.
So just a crazy thought, but it you know, the GitHub discussions are open for anybody. Mm-hmm. Now it's kind of going through one person to the next, but I'd love to see them in there with some proposals.
No, they're in there. Yeah, okay. They're in there sometimes. Yeah. They were, you know, they worked on the TXT tag with us.
Right. So, I mean, they're in there. Okay, good. Good.
Yeah. But I think it's something that will,
well, now I'm going to go buy an Apple Vision Pro. I feel good now. And while we're on the topic, anyone who might be listening over there, I am very gung ho on creating a virtual podcast studio. Here's an opportunity. Just saying.
Well, you can fly now without leaving your home. You can go fight for the border without leaving the Fredericksburg.
No, I want to be flying and doing a podcast at the same time.
It's called the Patriot app. You just load up the Patriot app. but it's good. I mean, it's
great.
It's a good thing. Yeah.
And congratulations to everybody. Congratulations to everybody in the Podcasting 2.0 orchestra. And to the Apple team, I'm really very happy about this because this is one of these moments. And I think we've talked about this many times. Just something's going to happen. And then, and there will be a bump. And this is, although this is maybe not a huge, public facing bump, this is something that shows it completely certifies what we're doing. It validates what we're doing.
I just think it's hilarious to have podcastapps.com and Apple at the very bottom of the list with one tag. That just makes me so happy.
Speaking, funny. Speaking of lists, so, and I see you have some clips. Of course, I haven't listened to anything you sent me, but there was a discussion. I also have not, unfortunately, listened to Pod News Weekly Review. I feel like I haven't done my homework this week yet, but I saw the topics, and so this was a conversation that... Well, you know, and if I recall, the people of podcasting 2.0, they won't really tell you that it's only 1% of apps. Like, okay. Yeah. And so I started a little thread and I said, well, this all depends. You know, we can all wait around for, you know, some marketing firm to come along and promote the benefits of podcasting 2.0 or do what people are already doing is I promote to my slightly less than 1 million no agenda listeners, an app, you know, podcastapps.com. But I always talk about an app that I'm using. And then I went and I looked at the OP3 stats and I see that, you know, I've got 30% using Podverse. I've got 15% using Fountain. Then Kyron pops up his OP3 list. He's got 60% of his audience using Fountain. This is how the marketing works. And to me, it was just kind of like, I like to remind everybody, podcasting isn't a platform. You know, it's not like one big monolith where, you know, it's only the aggregate that counts. It's just not true. So I have, of a million people, there's 300,000 that are using Podverse. That's not bad.
No, that's not bad. That's not just not bad. That's great.
Yeah.
I mean, like.
And a couple of people were putting up their stats. And I was like, you know, yeah, you can look at it that way, that it's less than 1%. But for my world, which is only important to me, it's a much higher number. And I'm super happy. And I get those people to use those apps. And they try different ones out. And, you know, there's a lot of, there's 15 of them now. And I promote the benefits. And for my money, the number one thing that I'd love to see Apple use is Podping. I mean, that would actually, you could actually send out a press release that Apple is saving the environment.
By
polling less. And we have hundreds of thousands of feeds that are hitting Podping.
Well, Alex brought it up. So, you know, you were talking about what Rob said. Just to catch everybody up in case they don't know what we're talking about. This is Rob Walsh from The Feed, which he works at Libsyn, and they have a podcast called The Feed. And he's talked to him about on there. They had a question from a listener about what is podcasting 2.0, like how do I get involved? And this was his answer.
Which one is this? Intimidated?
Rob, what is podcasting 2.0?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I see it here at the bottom. All right.
Podcasting 2.0 is not one thing. It is many, many different items, none of which are supported by Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Actually, less than 1% of all downloads to aggregator apps come from apps that support any of the Podcast 2.0 specs. This is something you do not hear the Podcast 2.0 proponents mention. There's virtually no support on the listener side per aggregator apps, which is where it's supposed to matter most.
Did you put that in there?
That was not me. You're trying to throw me under the bus. I mean, so I'm going to ignore the fact that, you know, now this is incorrect. That's not fair. But.
Well, hold on a second. You can ignore it. We talked to Libsyn 2 years ago and we're going to do it. We're going to do it. We're going to do it. I felt, you know, personally, I felt it was like, you know, you're the one of the first companies that was out there. You've had a rough ride with all kinds of, you know, company issues, but that felt like you were kicking us a little bit. Like, and if you were implementing one tag, then I would take the criticism. Right. But if you implement nothing, it's like that just seemed a little bullyish.
No, it did. We had a meeting with them and, you know, with one of their lead developers and I think the president of the company. And, you know, they told us that they were like, well, here we want to dive in, send us all the documentation that you've got. And I put together, you know, I spent time putting together a bunch of documentation and emailing it to them. And then they didn't do anything.
Right.
And, you know, which is fine. I mean, evangelism is the hardest part of any open source project, and 99% of the time it doesn't produce any results.
Yeah, just ask Jesus. It was really difficult.
Jesus.
Jesus had a hard time getting the word out.
Yeah, it's a very spiritual podcast today.
Yes, you started it.
Yeah, I did. It's my fault. So if we, like, if I don't really care about criticism. If I did, we would, I mean,
yeah, we would have stopped a long time ago. Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, I guess it's important, you know, we're not hiding anything. And the biggest issue with what he said, as far as I'm concerned, is, and I want to move on to something else, that Elsie said, but my biggest thing with him, with what he said, was that he's talking about podcast stats as if they are one thing that indicate that. As if, like you said, as if the entire industry is one monolithic thing.
Yes, exactly.
It's like talking about the economy in terms of GDP.
Yeah.
The GDP went up 2.5% in quarter, you know, in 2020.
Yeah, 2023. Tell that to my stepkid in Brooklyn. She's starving.
He can't get a job.
Because there's waiting tables. Exactly.
Yeah, your 2.5% GDP doesn't help the guy who lost his gig, who got laid off.
Yeah,
it's irrelevant. It's an irrelevant number. Those kind of stats don't mean anything because, like you said, the biggest podcaster in the world, Joe Rogan, has one app.
Yeah, one
Spotify,
and he's maybe 4 or 5% of all downloads.
Yes, and so these saying this is just. It, to me, indicates a misunderstanding of the nature of the podcast ecosystem at a fundamental level.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, when people say this, when people use these kind of arguments, I think what they're saying, you know, companies that are heavily invested in making money from in advertising, digital advertising based podcasting, I think what they're really saying is these features are boring because they don't allow me to make any money off your podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. Although, you know, people, I mean, do move hosts for these types of features.
Yeah. And I'm not being ugly. I'm just saying that, I mean, I think that's true. I think there's because these companies, they sell advertising on these shows. And so, like, if they look at the Chapters and they're like, well, I don't give a crap about Chapters. I mean, how does that help me make money? Like, I think it gets clouded like that.
Right. Yeah. Well, and that's, yes, you know, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. It's the same thing as, you know, hey, there's $2 billion going around in podcasting. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes. But, you know, the other thing, I think what Elsie said was more interesting to me. She talked about being intimidated by the technical nature of 2.0.
I am not negative about podcasting 2.0 features, and I really find them exciting, but I'm at a loss as to how to communicate a lot of this in a simple manner with the demographic and psychographic that I serve. And also, if I want to participate in a lot of this stuff, a lot of the conversations I've seen around podcasting 2.0 is very technically centric, and I feel like I don't understand it myself. And I kind of feel overwhelmed and like I'm not smart enough to know this stuff. Like, that's just a personal feeling that I get when these conversations come up.
Not that they're trying to make people feel that way.
No. I actually feel like I don't even know what to say about that, because in all honesty, I get confused by a lot of the conversations. I feel intimidated by being in those rooms, or in rooms as in like not actual rooms. You know what I mean? Like in communities that are really pro podcast 2.0, because a lot of the conversations are really technical and I feel like I don't even know what to say. Like I wouldn't even know, like all I would be doing is going, so what is that? Wait, what is that? Like, what's a, where does that go? How do I see that again? Like, and so I feel like they'd be explaining way basics. And.
Oh, well, that's a very good point.
Mm. Yeah. And I'm glad he threw in there that, you know,
that we're not doing on purpose.
Yeah, exactly. I thought that was a good thing that he threw in.
Well, this is good. And this conversation comes back from time to time. And it happened again. I think we can agree now, if not, I think it was said quite clearly, podcastindex.org should not be the place to explain podcasting 2.0.
First of all,
the podcast hosting companies, they're the ones that speak to the podcasters. And I think they've done a pretty good job of explaining some of these features. That's their job. They and walking people through these features, and they have help desk when people get stuck. I want to see 25, 30, 40, 50 websites that explain it. If you go looking for the official podcasting website, it doesn't exist, but there's thousands of YouTube videos and hundreds of podcasts, Dave Jackson School of Podcasting, that explain what this is. I mean, there's 20 years of explanation, and Daniel J. Lewis, he has ideas, and I think he should put them out there. And I'd be the first to point to it, say, hey, if you're looking for an explanation of these features, check this out. Listen to this podcast. Whenever someone says to me, how do I get started with podcasting? I send them to School of Podcasting. Always. Like, go there. Dave Jackson gets it. And I think you can also get some episodes and lessons on podcasting 2.0. Mm-hmm. That we need more of that. And so, you know, I just want to make sure we move away from the notion that, you know, that somehow we need to be the marketing site, because it'll never be good. Ever. No. It won't. We tried it. We had a guy who was trying to do it, and he left because we were like, no, this is not it. It's not good. It's not. Yeah. And he left. He's like, oh, yeah. You guys are no good. He said, yeah, that's right. But this is not it. You know, and I hope that Dame Jennifer, she sent me a note the other day. She says, I'm working on the video explanation of this. I'm like, that's fantastic. It will happen. I mean, it took a while and for it to happen initially. I mean, in the beginning, we had to tell listeners to go find an orange RSS icon, right click, copy, go to your app, hit subscribe. Don't worry, it's not going to cost you a subscription. Doesn't cost you anything. I just explained that. Paste, and then it's in there. You know, these things take time, and people will start to create lessons and information.
Let's step back for a minute and just look at what podcasting itself like actually consists of. Multiple locations of HTTP objects delivered over IP, one of which contains an XML file describing metadata of a show and a bunch of episodes in other HTTP locations describing potentially MP3 files, WAV files, other audio file types. I mean, explaining this setup to any normal person, it's completely hopeless. You've already, RSS-based podcasting itself is already hopelessly difficult to explain.
Yeah.
People's eyes glaze over. So podcasting 2.0 is not unique in this way. If you're trying to explain the guts of RSS-based podcasting, you better stop,
right?
Because you're not going to do it to a normal person. Yet somehow we have a thriving podcast ecosystem.
Yeah, amazing.
And you know why? Because programmers and developers take these complex schematics and they translate them into something that nobody has to understand.
Yeah.
But Alex's work on PeerTube, he took all the 2.0 stuff and baked it into PeerTube so that somebody who knows nothing about video podcasting can fire up a channel, have a podcasting 2.0 compatible feed with a ton of features, and they can go live stream and they don't know anything. So I guess
the same can be said for Podhome. Podhome, upload your file and it says, oh, here's a suggestion for your chapters. Here's your transcript. Here's some other, whatever other things, a title, all of those come suggested. And so it's interesting that, Elsie works at Libsyn. She should know. I mean, Libsyn, have they launched Libsyn 5 yet? it's difficult to build UX that explains to people what they're doing, but yet companies are doing it. Buzzsprout has made it pretty simple, I think. I think that Blueberry has effectively communicated to their customers, hey, here's what they call features or whatever they call them, and here's new stuff, and here's the apps that show them. So, I mean, but these things take a little bit of time. If you're only looking at podcastindex.social or the GitHub, I can't even put up with the GitHub.
It's just that I guess what I'm trying to say is Rob and Elsie probably should stop trying to explain 2.0. It's really not necessary.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It's not their, they shouldn't have to. They should be paying someone to tell them what it is. That's what all the other hosts did. I work for a lot of people who don't know what I do and I explain it to them in a higher level. Mm-hmm. And they're just not making the investment.
Yes.
I would imagine in your day job, Alex, that you're probably, you explain the high level stuff and then you go build the solution and then they don't have to know how the solution works. It's just you told them the rough idea and then you have a finished product and that's what they paid you for.
And how much it cost.
And how much it cost.
Well, Alex, I'll have you know that Mo Fax is coming your way.
Okay.
He is ready. He has his basic understanding you know, he has a YouTube understanding. And I think that what you've done with PeerTube, I think you've given enough hints there in the interface and what you need to do. That's like, hey, you connect it up here and then you start streaming here. It, recording is here. And here's your, I think you even, did you have to hook up a wallet or was that built in? I don't remember.
So just to be clear, most of that's not even my work. That's just the PeerTube developers. They're really great. But you, I mean, you just have to install the Lightning plugin and add like a Lightning address or whatever. So
cool.
And thanks to Airhead for that work. So yeah, I mean, it's, there's a couple things that you have to install afterwards, but yeah, I'd be happy to help him with that.
Yes, I'm sending him to you. I'm sending him to you.
Speaking of YouTube, there's another clip I want to play because I think this is actually pretty appropriate, where she's talking about the YouTube Music app lacking basic features.
Quote, I've been asking for the ability to mark episodes as played since May, and Google in December said to expect that in the coming months. It's really a basic podcast client feature to help manage your library. Playing a podcast and dragging the scrubber all the way to clear it from the new episodes playlist is a ridiculous hack. A more minor ask is support for podcast chapters, which I'm actually hopeful for given that there's an equivalent video feature. Meanwhile, YouTube Music needs new episode notifications. One underrated feature of Google Podcasts was that the parent company's vast server cloud infrastructure meant episode alerts were instantaneous. YouTube Music needs per show notification instead of just relying on your new episodes carousel and the home feed. I'm surprised YouTube decided to expand internationally without something as basic as this, since it would encourage people to keep using the app for podcast, end quote. So back to kind of just wrap the conversation we had prior to the promo, we're still here, folks. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
We're still at the marking an episode played part of the game.
Yeah, good point.
That is a direct contradiction to what they're talking about earlier.
Yeah,
it's these apps, if the YouTube app sucks this bad, the YouTube Music app sucks this bad for podcasting, tell your audience not to use it.
Exactly.
Tell your audience to go and use a 2.0 app.
Yeah.
It's so easy. You don't have to know what podcasting 2.0 is. Just tell them to go use a modern podcast app that is decent. I mean, the YouTube Music app doesn't even have new episode notifications. I mean, WTF? What?
Yeah, they don't seem very serious about their effort in this.
No, it's terrible. Yeah. That's a terrible app. We depend on developers to take all of these things and translate them into usable software that the listener and the podcaster use. Like Buzzsprout created the transcript tag. They brought that to the 2.0 namespace. They brought that to the 2.0 namespace. Then you have RSS.com, who's now auto-generating transcripts. So they picked up something that another host used, mm-hmm. Started auto-generating transcripts in their system and providing those. Now, and then you had 2.0 apps starting to show them in the player. Now you've got an Apple Podcasts app showing transcripts in the player for a huge portion of listeners. No listener and no podcaster had to ever know about this. It
Correct.
Never had to be explained. It just happened organically. Yep. As developers. There's gonna come a point. There's gonna come a point in the life cycle of every app. I mean every podcast app, where so many of the basic features are covered and the developer is looking for new ideas and new things to do. And they're going to see, and this goes back to why we focused so hard on developing relationships with the hosting companies from the beginning is if you can get all, if you can get tons of feeds to have these features in them. And this is what hurts so bad about Libsyn not being on board.
Yeah.
Because Libsyn has tons of feeds. If you can get the content out there, eventually in the life cycle of each app, when the developer is looking for new things to do and new features to bring to their audience, they're going to look at all of these feeds and they're going to say, oh, you know what? What is this? Interesting. This is the what does the person tag do?
Or in fact, they look at our API and say, oh, look at this. We got pod rolls coming out.
Yeah. What's a pod roll? This is interesting. What is a, you know, here's a transcript. I didn't know they had transcript. You're going to see, chapters. There's a whole chapters file. They're going to begin to see all of this content out there in hundreds of thousands of feeds. And they're just going to reverse engineer back up to the spec and start building these things.
Start showing them.
But they would never do that if the spec existed in a vacuum and there was no content there. And so what I'm saying is this is an inevitable slow rollout of new features. And this is the way it always happens.
Oh, and it always takes time.
Yes, it takes a long time.
It's like value for value. It takes a long time before it's like, oh, and then all of a sudden everyone's kind of seeing it. Everyone's seeing, you know, value dripping into their wallets.
Part of what they used was the Jean's mom argument. Yeah. You know, I can't explain to
Jean's people, mom, but she died. So that's kind of a bad, it's not good to use that anymore.
Let's rename this.
Jean's mom, it's an honorary title. I think Jean is very happy with us using it still.
In memoriam.
Jean's mom in memoriam, GMM.
Because the whole idea of the Jean's, now this is an honoring thing because, you know, the idea of the Jean's mom argument was that it was not fair to Jean's mom. that Jean's mom was smarter than everybody gave her credit for.
Yes.
And so that's the thing is like, you know, we keep being told I can't recommend some other app or some other feature, somebody go seek out another feature or something like that because it's too hard to explain.
You don't have to.
I can tell you that if you look at Chrome's market share lately,
no,
it's like 85% of the entire internet is Google Chrome. And yet Google Chrome is not delivered by default on any operating system. Somebody has learned somewhere that they're supposed to go download an app. I mean, the argument that people are not willing to try new things is not
specious.
I don't think that's true. So people will try new things.
They do.
You know, I don't want to belabor the point.
The proof is in the pudding, but it has to come from the podcaster. When a podcaster says, hey, try this app. You know, and I always use one or two features. The main one, I said, hey, you know, you'll be updated within 90 seconds of me publishing it. You get an alert. Is that something you're interested in? Everybody's interested in that. Yeah. Well, I'm sick and tired of seeing on Twitter that something was released and it's not in my app yet.
Well, I think Apple got to that point in their life cycle. They're like, okay, what can we do? Looking around for new features and that kind of thing. Here's a 2.0 feature we can do.
Yeah.
And they put that in there. And it also helps them because people are less likely to bail out and go to a different app.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it benefits everybody. And I guess my biggest thing here would, you know, my biggest message to Libsyn would be to just repeat what Alex said. Stop letting everybody else do this job for you. Like, get in the game.
Yes. So true. Well,
I think the tyranny of the default is worse than Apple. Just to maybe argue against it a little bit, and Apple knows that, and that's why they're adding features.
The tyranny of the default.
Yeah,
explain.
It's default apps, right? Most people probably use the Apple Podcast app because that's what they have, and I think Android users are just more used to finding new apps.
Mm. Yeah.
Speaking of Android, thank you for saying that because it jogged my memory. Speaking of Android, so this, one of the things that they were telling me in the meeting yesterday was that this is about, and I've got a GitHub post on the post on this. They were talking about the MIME types. And I think we have it correct for the MIME type is for VTT is text/VTT. The MIME type for SRT is like unobtainium. I cannot figure out what the real one is. I don't think there actually is a real one that's defined anywhere by any sane human being. But Apple says that it should be text/SRT, but I just don't think that's right. Because everything I can find says it's got to be either text plain or applications X subrip. And we've got in our documentation that it's supposed to be application/X-subrip. But I'm not exactly sure what to do about that because, you know, if we put in a text XRT, if we start recommending that and that's not the actual thing, then, you know, it's because then they deprecated those X dash whatever I thought. So I don't know. This is out of my comfort zone at this point.
Alex?
I think if there's no standard, we just have to allow both. There's no way to enforce it anyway.
Yeah, I agree. Man, I don't see any other way to slice that.
Although text plain is dumb. No.
I agree. I'm trying to avoid the inevitable, you know, every time you're in an open source project and you do something, there's always what you might call the MIME type smartass that, where you define something and somebody pops up and says, you know, that's not the right MIME type. And it's like, oh, okay, fine. Yeah. And then there's an inevitable flame war about what MIME type to use.
Dave.
I'm trying to avoid that here. But I don't want there to be like a 12 page GitHub discussion about what MIME type to use in this scenario. So what I'm saying is I don't think we can change anything at this point. I think we got to leave it alone for the moment.
I'm fine with leaving it alone for the moment.
You're not opinionated on the MIME type of subrip format?
No. I want to move on to surprising to me. I want to move on to the helipad update.
Oh yeah, what'd you do?
Eric PP sent an update to helipad, a beta, which had the side load. Now, when you side load onto, and this is the start 9 that I'm running. That was very interesting. It required a restart of the entire box. That's not necessarily because it was stuck or anything. It was like I was out of ideas because it installed and then it was throwing an error and then it was trying to stop and I couldn't stop the service. I'm like, I'm just going to reboot it. And then it was very interesting because LND took about 35, 40 minutes to sync to the graph and sync the channels and... Maybe it got, I don't know what that was. And I have a feeling it may have been out of sync. Something may have happened. I didn't look at it honestly before I installed, but it doesn't matter because I got it installed. I got it working, works perfectly. And so now it has an extra tab. So those who don't know, Helipad is a piece of software that has a great interface. And yeah. I mean, I love the interface. It's so simple. It's so beautiful. It just works. And you can see in real time when boosts come in and it has a timestamp. It shows you the logo of what app. It shows you the total amount of the boost sent. The name tells you the episode or in some cases what song or what remote item if it's a value time split, then you can click on the timestamp. It'll bring you all the TLV, all the info about what was sent along with it. And with two apps, that would be CurioCaster and Castomatic, who have a reply to, as per the spec, they have implemented reply to, I think it's in the spec, a little reply button surfaces. And so you hit that. Then it says recipient, which is basically, I think, let me see, Castomatic just shows me a node address. So it's, you know, I think CurioCaster showed me the name of the person who sent it as, that shows you the name of the person who sent it. Then you can fill out your own name as sender, which is open for interpretation, number of sats in a message, and you hit boost. And you boost it right back. And I tried it with CurioCaster tied into my Albi wallet. And I replied and it went right back to my Albi wallet and with the message. And it had my name there that I'd filled in at the top. And I was able to reply to the boost with 1,000 sats. And so now I have a sent tab. You have boosts, you have streams. So you can see the per minute streams that are coming in. It's also fun to watch from time to time. And then the sent, and it... And right there, it shows me the boost that I sent back. It's the round robin. And I would love for other apps to implement this.
I've essentially turned over Helipad to Eric PP at this point. I gave him like maintainer rights on that repo. So he's like, I'm not even involved in it anymore. It's like his app now.
Yeah.
And he's rocking and rolling with it.
It is fantastic. I mean, it's very exciting. It's just exciting that I can send it like, hey, thanks for your boost. I really appreciate it. And here's 1,000 sats back. Sats back.
Sats back.
I wonder,
it's a Black Friday.
I wonder. So there's this cool export option, which I really love. The export option. I wonder if that also works on the sent boost. Oh, yes, it does.
No way.
Sure looks like it.
Does it have the sent in there too?
Let me just double check. I'm going to save this. I think so. It came up really fast on the sent tab. So that seems like that would work. I mean, this is becoming something really useful. Helipad is a very useful wagon at this point. I mean, I run everything on it. Every show runs on it. I'm exporting all the boosts. You can store it. There is a little problem though. I think the split kit doesn't send the show, it sends a song if it's a time split. And so that I can't sort, that doesn't show up in my sort. Does that make any sense? If I'm sorting the spreadsheet and I want to know, so I'm just sorting it for one podcast, like Boosty Graham Ball, then they'll be in the pivot table.
Oh, it sends you the song.
Yeah. So then I have, so it doesn't, that becomes unusable. Okay. Yes, sent. There it is. Wait, let me see. Yeah. That seems to work.
It's clearly sets. Because of my elegantly modular code base that allowed this
very functionality elegant,
to be just plugged right in.
Yes, yes. And the interface carries right through. It's great.
That's funny.
I'm very excited about this.
He's been working on that for weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I don't know. I think he started it last year, like, before Christmas. He's been working on that for a while.
Yeah. And just so people
I'm
know
happy how, for him.
Yeah, just so people know how I use it. I just send a small split to my own node at home so that I can, you know, cause you get the full amount. So you can manage all of the boosts coming in, whether it goes to Albi or wherever or Fountain, whatever your wallet is, just get a little bit at home. I mean, it would be so great cool. If this could integrate into Albi. I'm sure people would love that if that was possible.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how Alex, would do that.
Alex has been, you've been playing around you've played around with the Breeze SDK lately, right?
Not too much, but I've looked at it a lot.
Cause I wondered, I've always wondered if we could hook, like if you just fired up, I've always had this vision, you know, like you could just fire up a helipad with nothing to connect to.
Oh, and it just has, then, it has a wallet right in there.
Yeah. And then it just spins up a green light.
Mm.
If Breeze SDK supported KeySend, that would solve so many of the custodial issues we have. You could just run your own node like that.
Is it only LN URL right now?
I mean, it's, you can generate invoices, but I don't know about all in URL.
And we're going to have to get Roy back on the show so we can figure that out. Because, I mean, that would be, I can't think of an easier solution. I mean, we could really.
Apps would be born. A million.
Yeah. Well, I mean, think about it. Like you could just download, you could install Helipad. I don't even through a Docker image or something. You could install Helipad and then it comes up and you're like, okay, I want a node, and bam, you just have one. If it could do keysend, that would be like the perfect solution.
Wasn't the whole point of Greenlight that there was a cloud element that would stay kind of like a watchtower that would stay online and then will receive your keysend but can't send anything? And then the minute you fire up your Greenlight portion, that it then connects to that watchtower. Wasn't that the idea? Did I misunderstand that?
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't know if it's the watchtower concept came through or not, but the idea is that as soon as when a payment was coming in, it would spin the node up, accept the payment, and then pass it through.
Right.
Yeah. The only issue right now is to use Greenlight, you have to sign up and get a certificate. And I don't know how accessible that will be for the average user. I'm going to find out, because that would be really, really great. But it's not just a plug and play solution yet.
Yeah, because I mean that would apply to PeerTube as well, because you're in AtuBe. I mean, you could just like spin up a node, and then it's like it's not your keys. I mean, you're not managing anything. It's all on the user side.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm waiting for the day I can get rid of my Raspberry Pi node, because mm-hmm. I just don't have the time for it.
Yeah, I mean, my channels have been messed up for a month now, and I can't.
Let me help you, Dave. Let me help you. I can help you.
My podcast index channel is it's says offline all the time. Yeah, it's broken.
Oh yeah, no, that's. But you're still on the Umbral.
Yeah, I'm on the Umbral. Yeah, because it's my podcast rig. I've broken the doing too many things on one box rule here.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. I have no idea. I had problems with Umbral and Tor, and that always seemed to be. But see,
I'm not on Tor. I'm on ClearNet. You're
ClearNet.
I got a ClearNet channel to you. Yeah.
I don't know.
It's broke.
It's broke. All right. Anyway, Eric PP. You are a man of many talents. I appreciate you.
Yeah. That's a pretty badass feature.
Yeah.
Alex, you want to talk about categories?
Absolutely.
I think we're there. But I mean, I think we're at this point where we've got music medium now. And obviously mm-hmm. other mediums, audiobooks, all this kind of stuff, the film. So the iTunes categories, they're just not sufficient anymore, because you need, you know, if you're going to be looking for music that's, a specific genre, the limited set of Apple categories are not going to help you much at all. So we're going to have something. I guess I could say it this way. I mean, like, it seems like there's, just to lay it out as best I can for the uninitiated here, that we've thrown this tag around for what, a year and a half, 2 years, something like that.
Three.
Some kind of category tag. And I mean, you could, to me, it really comes down to, we need, I don't see a difference between reusing the podcast, reusing the RSS category tag. Let me lay it out this way. You got three options. You could literally hijack the iTunes category tag itself and start sticking stuff in there that's non-compliant. To me, that's completely no way. Not going to do that. I think that would cause mass confusion. And it's not right. Somebody recommended using the RSS 2.0 category tag itself. Honestly, that's the spec is confusing to me because it's got all these references to like a domain attribute and a taxonomy link back and all this stuff. I think that tag is weird and I don't like it.
Well, that has the same issue as hijacking the iTunes tag because we don't know what it would break.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's a great. I agree with you because if we don't fully understand this tag and how it's being used, well, then you can't just go in and start doing Wild West stuff with it. No, I agree. And then you have that's not really in podcast feeds anyway. So you're gonna feed generators would have to make a change regardless. So they might as well go with podcast with a podcast category tag, podcast colon category, or something like that. And so there's like, so then I think that's where we landed. And it's like, okay, where are these categories going to come from? Are they going to come from some preordained list somewhere? Are they going to be free form? And I think we're both in agreement. And James, I think is also agreed in everybody who involved in the discussion that, I mean, it really needs to be a free form thing because we don't want to just redo the same. Here's a master list that somebody else is in control of.
Yeah. And I understand. The main argument against this is how do you know which categories to surface? And I have two answers to that. I think the first is, I think we should think of them as hashtags. Just because that seems to be the most user translatable idea to what we're actually doing, whether or not you call them categories, topics, I mean, the name doesn't matter. But that I think it's a concept people are used to, and it would mm-hmm. directly translate to some of the other things we have going on, such as the activity pub idea. And people are already used to being able to subscribe to a hashtag and from, you know, Twitter, Mastodon or whatever. And secondly, I mean, the discovery has to be done, but I think we can do it in a way where, I mean, you could build it into the podcast index API to show maybe trending hashtags, trending categories or something. Mm-hmm. And also the Podping service I'm working on for, it's going to have a unified push and web push notifications for apps. I want to be able to do notifications by hashtag as well. So we could have some kind of decentralized method of apps being able to discover what hashtags are available and what's trending.
Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot sense. So go ahead.
Well, I think people are confused. I think calling it a category just causes too much confusion. It's like the Yahoo keyword. It's like, I get it, but you don't have to use them as categories in your UI, right? You can use them as more like filters.
Or labels.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So how would you...
I think Apple calls them topics too. Like,
oh, really? Oh yeah, that's right. Because they had the topics thing in the in their directory. Did you see Nathan's post about using the Wikimedia identifiers?
Yes, and I'll be honest. I don't hate the idea, but I think it's too complicated for the average user, including me. it might be better for a host or whatever to do it behind the scenes. And we would just use natural language, as it is. And I think it would be important to like have a language attribute too. And then if people want to provide a service that translates them to the Wikidata identifiers, I think that might be a better idea.
Mm-hmm. Sort of a translation in both ways.
What exactly is the Wikidata stuff? What is that? I didn't see the post.
If I were to explain it, I would call it a data scientist way of analyzing natural language.
Okay.
It's basically a way of classifying words using human made identifiers.
I'll be honest with you. I don't fully understand it. No, I don't. I don't understand any better. I read the linked URL, and I thought I understood it until about like this third section down, and then I was like, I clearly don't know what this means. So I don't know. I mean, it can't be that difficult. I think the idea was to use to put some sort of guardrails around the possible, the possible values that could be in these, I'm just going to call them topics just to keep us all sane instead of categories. Yeah. But see, then I don't want to get caught up in naming, whatever. So like the topic names, just
call them what they are. They're hashtags. The whole world understands what a hashtag is.
Okay. Hashtags. So, well, Nathan says it was about deduplication. Yeah. And I think that's what it was. It's about guardrails. And so if you can classify the possible values that would be contained in these things, sort of like, I guess you could, my understanding through reading through that document was that it was sort of like a Dewey Decimal System for possible words that go into a overall like taxonomy of things. So it's like, okay, music. If you're in the music section of the Dewey Decimal Catalog, the taxonomy would say, okay, now your subcategories are going to be, or your sub, indexes are going to be metal, rock, easy listening, these kind of things. But then if you switch over to the literature category of the wiki data identifiers or whatever, now you're talking about all of a sudden now your subclasses are English literature, Celtic literature, ancient Chinese literature. So I think that's really the idea. And if you had sort of a pre-made list of those things that you could like seed with, which I don't think is a bad idea, to have like something that automatically, some sort of hybrid approach where you have this automatic suggestion sort of table to help guide people to the thing that they're looking for.
Isn't that an external service that would just make sense for that to exist?
Yeah. And I mean, if we all agreed on the same sort of bootstrap list, it doesn't prevent anybody. Do you agree with this, Alex? It doesn't. I mean, if we had something like that, it wouldn't prevent anybody from putting new things into it. It's just that it's sort of like, it's trying to guide you towards an agreed upon value.
Yeah. I mean, I would argue that's what language is. But it doesn't have to be part of the spec. You can have lists.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah. We don't have to define where these things come from, but it could just be an agreed upon, like, this is what you can use the list that you want. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. I think we're on the right track. How do you, if you're going to implement, like, imagine you're implementing this in PeerTube, what would you think it would look like from a UI perspective?
I actually did, and then I removed it. We already have tags in PeerTube, and you could just type in whatever you want.
And does it auto-complete with something that already exists?
I don't remember. I haven't looked at it in a while, but you just edit the video, and there's a whole... They call them tags. If you look at Dave's live channel right now, he literally has PHP, Podcast Index, Podcasting, Podcasting 2.0 and Rust.
Yeah, those are really dumb tags, Dave. Can't believe you're using those tags.
You can't? Have you seen? I'm not a creative fellow. Okay.
Messing with you, brother.
Okay, cool. Well, I mean, maybe that's what we go for. Maybe we say podcast. Maybe the name of this tag is podcast tag. And then, you know, just for giggles here. And then we start, because what I feel like it's what's going to happen here is the first people that implement this, obviously PeerTube's already got it, but you're going to make it more exposed and stuff. Is then, like, it's from a hosting perspective, the first people that are going to go into this is going to be like Dovidas and Wavelake that have music. Mm. I mean, that I'm sure they're going to probably jump on this pretty quick because they need, and Stephen B, because they need, they're really, that's really the place where there's the most pain right now. But then it's applicable to way more than just that. But as far as like immediate use case, this is the place where it's needed the most, because it's really a discovery issue.
I think we all want it when we look for music.
Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of music.
Oh,
shall we play a little ditty?
Yeah. Who chose this ditty? Was it you?
I'm sorry, Alex. I should have asked you.
Subterfuge.
Unless you want to give me a name right now and I can look it up real quick.
I got nothing.
I got nothing. I'm going to be on this guy's podcast, I think this week or next week, because he reached out to me and a number of other music podcasters, very upset, respectful. I want to make sure you say very respectful, but very upset about playing songs in podcasts, including his, and using compression.
Okay.
And it's very familiar complaint to me, because ever since AM radio, your song will not sound the same as when you mixed it in the studio. And if you listen to today's Top 40 radio, they even spin up the songs, add some reverb, believe it or not.
Ooh.
And compress it. And a lot of that was done early on, because the harder, the more compressed and the harder the sound is, the more output you get out of the transmitter, literally. But he was like, he's really upset. And so I'm looking forward to discussing that with him. And meanwhile, I want to play one of his songs, Lots of Compression, here on the show, if that's okay.
Really? Let's see, are you going to turn your compression off?
I am not turning off my compression. He's Jimmy V. He's from the Valueverse. This is Sweet Time on Podcasting 2.0.
Stealing time, waiting for the blade to fall. Ain't got time. How you gonna make the call? Oh, on and on it seemed to last forever. And suddenly it's over, 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 overnight.
Oh, sweet time, I'll take mine. Oh, sweet time, I'll take mine.
This has ever happened to you once. So bad, all you can do is eat, sleep, think, and dream like you can't live without it. On and on, it seemed to take forever. Then suddenly it happened overnight.
Take home, sweet time, I'll take mine. Take home, sweet time, I'll take mine. Take home, sweet time, I'll take mine. Together.
sweet time, I'll take mine. Everybody, take your home sweet time, I'll take mine.
Not using a modern podcast app, what is wrong with you? Go and get a modern podcast app that does the magic wallet switching, the super chapters, they're also known, because any sats that you were streaming, anything you boosted during that song, go to the artist. We switch the wallets and everything goes to Jimmy V and whatever splits he has in his system. He gave me this analogy. He said, imagine I build a hot rod in my garage and then I take it to your car show. And then you spray paint all over it. And I said, let me give you this analogy. You come to my car show. I take it onto the track. I get it really muddy. And then everyone's flocking to your stand to see how beautiful your hot rod is. Remember when you go home and you say you bought the record and you're like, oh, man, there's all this stuff I never heard before. That's because mm-hmm. radio compresses stuff. And there's reasons for that.
I think that's not a great analogy. I don't think we're spray painting cars.
What we're doing is we're changing the universe is what's happening here. Do we have 20 shows now? I think that at least I know of.
Oh, music shows.
Yeah. 20 music shows.
Well, I mean, Wave Lake themselves are in the
game. They got a music show out. Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, I was listening to Booty Call or whatever that was that Mike Newman put out earlier.
Booty Call?
That's not it. It's something about booties.
It's a mood? Wait, honestly, it's
yeah,
a
it was,
mood?
Yeah, Booty Shaking. That's what it was, Booty Shaking.
I haven't heard it.
Yeah. And I mean, there's a bunch of stuff out there. That's why we need this. Like, we need, because... like Lightning Thrashes.
Yeah. Homegrown
he's a
hits.
Metal show. He needs an easy way to find metal.
Yes, exactly.
Find the metal.
Right now, you know, the inflow of music is manageable enough. So every week I'll go in, I'll listen to all the new stuff.
How do you find your stuff?
I go into Splitkit, which, or LN Beats, but Splitkit is easy because then I just start building my, the songs I want. Little list, and it's chronological order. So right at the top, it'll show you the most recently added. And I think now Wave Lake is adding them automatically. I think. I don't know.
I think you're right. Yes.
So Mike Newman is on break. And
he's got a reprieve.
Yeah, he does. And I'll just listen to him. And I just click on the artist. Sometimes it's one song. Sometimes it's a couple of songs. And, I can scan. It's like needle dropping. I'm like, oh, okay, I like this. Click. I'll add that to my list. And just going now, sometimes I can see, like, if it's what's an example today? To go into music and you'll see something like, awesome techno snazzy songs. I'm like, okay, I can probably just check it for a second. I might not have to listen to all of them. But that's just
dip
not
in and out. I mean,
it's just not for me.
Keep your head in the door.
Oh, by the way, Abby Muir, who I played last week, she's not from Sweden, she's from Australia. I was notified.
Oh, were you notified by Swedish? Yes. By the Swedish or by the Australians?
The Australians called. Yeah, they were pissed.
Okay. Well, I mean, she's number one on the podcast index.top.
How many? What is the top? What is the top today? Top
203 today.
Top 203.
Yes.
Yeah, but here I see something I don't know yet: the Flat Dancer, the Unusual Cats Project. So I love
the
these lists.
Unusual Cats Project.
Is it Usual? Oh, yeah, Usual.
The Usual.
Case. Yeah. I love, Alan C. Paul, you see him number four, Serenity. So it's another instrumental track. I played his track. He put on Instagram, he said, perspective. 2 weeks on value for value. I've made more money than 10 years.
Oh, jeez.
Perspective.
Yeah,
and
that's
instrumental. Then he plays instrumental. Last time I played an instrumental song on Top 40 was... Axel F. with the theme from Miami Vice or Jan Hammer, oh, whatever. Jan Hammer, yeah, Axel. Yeah. No, it was Beverly Hills Cop was Axel F. And then after that came Jan Hammer with the theme from Miami Vice. That was the last time I played anything instrumental.
Oh, dude, you've got to play some of this the Flat Dancer thing. Like, that's a pretty killer track. Some jazz or something. Yeah, like the Usual Cats.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't have it. Which one? The Flat.
Yeah, just play it. Like, just pop your head in the door. Just peek in on it for a second.
Okay. Oh, okay. I got you.
That's a stand-up bass is what that is.
Nice. Bass, actually. Nice. Boom, 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 boom. Nice. All right, cool.
It's a mood waiting to happen.
Got it. And that's some booty shaking right there. All right.
That's booty shaking. Yeah.
I'll check that out for sure. For sure. I got to do a Boostagram ball this week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Alex, pod ping over Activity Pub. Does that fill you with dread, or does that sound interesting?
Can you elaborate?
Yes, I can. So I had this idea because I'm in my head is in Activity Pub mode right now, and I'm trying to get away from that so that I can get back to doing index work, but it's like I'm just consumed with it. And so I was thinking, if pod pings were also deliverable over Activity Pub, then we could use Activity Pub as another medium to get PubSub ability, so that you could subscribe to something like, so you could subscribe to the show.
How about, can I just trip your mind out?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Subscribe to a hashtag that comes through on Podping?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Like that we could do that too. Like you could say, if we combine them, say, hashtag, but so that you can say, okay, these shows I want to get pod pings for, and then we would have like a custom activity pub object type for the pod ping, and it could serve as a subscription mechanism through the bridge.
The only issue I can see would be since it's not globally deliverable. Mm-hmm. It's not a global message bus, right? Some things could be missed. Maybe instances might start blocking things. I don't know if that's really relevant, because if you follow something, that's all you would need. I have to think about it, but I'm not totally against the idea.
Can I ask?
Hey, that's all I need. That's all I need is for Alex to say I'm totally against the idea. That's the daylight I was looking for.
I need to ask a question, Dave. So publishing today's episode, what do I use as the root post? Because I'm still a little confused. Anything I want. How does that integrate then with people who are following the show?
Okay, so the latest version of the bridge will just take whatever is in the root post, whatever's in the social interact tag URL, and we'll just put that as a link in the post.
Oh, duh. Okay. Now I understand how it works. When you subscribe to the show, so, you know, at 49966, whatever it is, at ap.podcastindex.org. Then when that pops up, it'll have a link, and that's the link that I put in as the root post.
Yeah, and it can be a link to any Activity Pub post.
Okay, thank you. All right, now I understand. I got it. Oh, well, good. Yep. Well, that's solved. Oh, man, love that. By the way, Lex Friedman is using Podping, it turns out.
What?
You know Lex Friedman?
Yeah.
He's a huge podcaster. So Andrew
Grummet, black tie guy, the little skinny tie.
Yeah, the bland and black. Andrew Grummet just posted on the social, and he's a screenshot of Lex Friedman's URL, and it says Podping uses Podping equals true.
Really?
Yeah.
What host does he use?
I don't know. Doesn't
okay,
say.
Okay, wait, I gotta investigate this. Lex Friedman.
Lex Friedman.
Stop the show.
Stop the show. That, I mean, you know, these are interesting little tidbits. By the way, Andrew Grummet, I see your boosts. I see your test boosts. They're showing up.
What's he cooking up?
He's still cooking up the podcast. There it is. I don't know. I wonder what RSS feed. Let's take a look at his feed. What is he using?
Oh, he's on. Oh, here we go. Yeah, no, the, Raw no voice. Wonder.
He's on Blue.
PowerPress.
PowerPress. Oh, how about that?
Todd delivering the goods.
Yes, bang bang. Very very cool.
Here we go.
Very cool.
What's new? Uses Podping.
Isn't that cool,
Todd? Love you. What's new on the Podping front, Alex?
Well, nothing really. That's a good thing, right? It's been running. Yeah. The latest version has been running for over a year now.
What's the uptime? How many hours uptime? How many minutes uptime?
Well, Dave had to. Actually, there's no downtime since it's on Hive technically, but Dave had to do some updates, I think, last year. But otherwise,
I actually rebooted everything about a month ago. But before then, it had been like I think a year since the server's been rebooted.
I'm really proud of that. It's so stable and no one really even thinks about it, which is what you want.
Yeah, precisely. Just stuff that works.
Yeah. In reality, we do have to think about an update for the mediums, particularly publisher. So if we want the publisher medium or whatever we decide to call it, I think we need to add that to Podping. And then there were a couple others, I think. Who wanted the? I can't remember what it was, but there's a couple of mediums that we have to add, and that's it.
Are you talking about like course or whatever?
Yes, of course. That's right.
Okay. All right.
Sir Deanonymous, who created Bingit.io, which is basically he's ingested every transcript from No Agenda, every show notes because I publish an OPML. All the images, he's got everything in there and he has a search function.
He's the AI guy, right?
It's a search function. But it would be great to have some kind of large language model baked out of, or as they call it now, extended. No, is it? Yeah. I think it's called extended language model. This is a new hip term. What comes after the fact, I publish the transcript comes later, right? I put a dummy file in and then a dummy file and I put one chapter in and then Dreb Scott goes and does the chapters. And then after 30 minutes or whatever, I upload the full transcript. And so I hit update, but I hit the pod ping. Does that just create an update reason code?
Yes. Yes. And it won't, apps won't know that there's an update of the chapters without checking the URL.
Right.
I do have a solution for that.
Okay.
It's called, if you go to the, Podping Hive Writer, GitHub, I think it's the update, external reason code. And it's basically, the idea is to take a hash of the URL and send a pod ping when you update something external to the feed that notifies apps that something has changed. So it would be chapters, images, transcripts, all of the above.
Oh, beautiful. Well, that's exactly the answer he's looking for. We just have to make it so.
Mm-hmm. I'm all for doing that as soon as possible if we agree to do it.
I would love it because that's, you know, there's just certain things that come after the fact. Chapters, there's all kinds of different types of chapters that even with the Reflex service, with the often disputed Reflex service of adding putting the boost not into the table of contents, but into a chapter marker. That updates on the fly as well.
I see this. It's the update EXT.
Yes.
An indication that an existing RSS feed with a defined podcast GUID has changed externally available resource. Given good must be okay. Yeah. This makes
the benefit of doing it that way is it would work with something like IPFS as well. So I'm nice. trying to keep it future proof.
Nice.
Yeah. Right. Okay. This makes sense. Yeah, we'll have to get yeah, we're gonna have to get back to Podping whenever. Maybe timeline on that for me would be to kind of get back into it would be after phase 7, because then we can figure out if we which publisher, like which mediums we need, and then we can just revisit it and do it, kind of hit that all at once if you're ready for it.
No, well, let's do it. Podping is my favorite subject. Okay.
It is.
Shall we thank a few people?
Oh, yeah, sure.
I'm going to run through some of the live boosts we've been receiving on my fancy new helipad. By the way, Eric PP, it still shows the install was version 0.1.11, but it shows 0.1.10 on the interface. Just FYI, little bug feedback.
Inside baseball.
Bully Steed 4444. Podcasting 2.0. Homegrown hits, variety show, V for V. A little promo there. Yeah. 1776 Freedom Boost from Booberry. I'm loving Podcast Guru and the live value time split. So cool. So very deeply legal. Enjoying some Jimmy V in the boardroom. And there's Dovidas with 3,000 sats. And what's he boosting from? Podcast Guru as well. Boosting Jimmy V live via Podcast Guru with live wallet switching. 19 value recipients. Okay, really? Who Jeez. Has 19 value recipients?
Yeah, you want to know why Albie goes down? That's this Booberry. That's.
I wonder if that's Jimmy V. I don't have we don't have 19. So I guess so we switched to 19 value recipients. Love it.
Jeez.
Dreb Scott 4567 from Podverse, and he says, "Love you, Adam." # Sats back. boost me on Castomatic, and I'll send you some back. 8888 from a Chris you know on Podverse with Alex Gates on the show. For those who are anti-Noster, I challenge them to build a competing solution to NIP47 pull request 685, which allows Ooh. Any podcast player to push payment out info out into any wallet, including non-custodial wallets. This includes key send splits, custom key, custom value, and any TLV records. Albie is fantastic, but having backups is a good idea. Okay, does anyone understand what that is?
No. I have no idea what he's talking about.
NIP47685.
47. NIP47, and what was the...
685. Noster Wallet Connect Extensions.
Oh, Noster Wallet Connect. Okay. Describes a way for clients to access a remote Lightning wallet through a standardized protocol.
Don't get me started on Noster. It's just a.
I think he's.
I kind of want to get you started. Kind of want to see what happens. You poke the bear. All right. Yes.
It's just a way of using centralized servers to publish HTTP endpoints. It doesn't solve anything new.
Moving on to Booberry with 6666. I'm happy to move on. It should be noted we have a severe overpopulation of goats in the green room, and we need your help. All boost a goats are getting dropped from 666 to 66 this coming Monday on Beyond the Schemes. That's right, fools. This is an ad. Episode
180. Can we go back to NIP47? That made more sense than this.
That's right, fools. Episode 187. We'll see a fire sale on goats. They've got to go. Okay. And Booberry comes in with 17,776 sats. Shout out to Hey Citizen for the tip on how to get lightning control going off the computer. Oh, yeah. That is kind of cool. So be sent a video. When a boost comes through, then all of a sudden some lights flash in the studio. I like that. You saw the video.
Did you see that, Alex? That he posted. Did you see what he posted?
No, but I want to.
Yeah, he's using DMX protocol to fire off lights.
Right.
This is quite literally going to be lit. We got another crazy idea for a new type of boost. So be watching for it to debut and homegrown hits soonish. Okay. Salty Crayon comes in. Howdy, boardroom with the Road Ducks 2222 from Podverse. Howdy from the northeast corner of the Texas Hill Country. The fountain split. Percentages are out of whack. I don't have over 1,000% on my node for splits. This is something Dovidas is working on with Fountain to correct. No errors on my E there coming through. Break. New flag release for Texas to the Biden administration. F around and find out. In the pipe. Go podcasting. Whoa. Whoa, salty.
There's a lot of drunk donations going on tonight.
It's Saturday. You know, it's a different crowd in the boardroom. It's like everyone came in their casual slacks, you know, like came in
our jeans,
little buzz, you know, like, hey. We coming in from podcast guru 500 sats from Sakai the horse. Thank you. Another salty crayon with an Abby boost. then there's a test boost from me, and I think, well, there's one from 5 hours ago. So you have that one. That's a question, a topic for Alex. So I think we can move it over to you, Dave.
Okay. Well, let me hit some PayPals first, because we've got, I mentioned last week we lost a big donor, and
yes.
I was incorrect, because Buzzsprout canceled their $500 a month donation because they were going to add a new monthly donation of $1,000.
So we just got $1,000 from them?
From Buzzsprout, yes.
Woo! Baller, shot caller, 20-inch blade on the Impala.
Guys, thank you so much.
Yeah, that is
big. Thank you.
Yeah,
that's a massive value that you're giving us there.
And congrats to them, because that, like I said, the transcript tag was what
they brought it to the party for sure.
Because I think that was the first tag we worked on in the namespace. Mm-hmm. And it's because they were already trial running it. When the namespace was created, they were already trial running that tag with Xavier from Podcast Addict. So they were doing some testing with it, and they had just kind of rolled it out the door. And then the namespace came along, and they're like, "Hey, let's just go ahead and put this into the namespace."
Thank God.
Makes sense there. Yeah.
What was wasn't Chapters from a different namespace?
The Chapters, we inherited the format from an app called called Podcast Chapters for the Mac.
Oh yeah, right. That's what it was. Yes.
Yeah. We also the party's not over because Marco Armin, he's back with $500 again this month.
Man, we are just hammering it with the value. Thank you. Oh man, this, because it was kind of slow the past couple of shows, so this is very welcome.
And I'm hoping that another benefit of Apple adopting 2.0 tags is going to be that
Overcast, like
will become more comfortable with doing these things as well, and so we'll get more broad adoption.
He might want to, surpass them by adding Chapters, something else. Yeah. Just a thought.
We got one weekly PayPal from Travis Halls. He just says, thank you, $7.17. Thank you, Travis.
Thank you, Travis.
We appreciate it. We got some boosts. We got 10,000 sats. Me too, Nathan. I got Pocket Casts. They're another one that said that they were going to be putting in a bunch of stuff, and then they just did anything.
Oh, that's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They rolled out subscriptions for themselves.
For themselves. Anonymous 500 sats. Said great song. That was for boosting during the song last week.
All right.
Abby, Just Listening sent a 1776 through Fountain. He says, I need that Bill Gates AI clip boosting episode 163.
It's published. It's on... you can go to bingit.io and look for Bill Gates, and then look for clips and you'll find it.
Chris Lass. Oh, that's Chris from Jupiter Broadcasting. 68848 through Fountain. He says, great work, guys. Really cooking with clean burning propane these days.
Thanks, Chris.
Boost! Appreciate it, Chris. Let's see who we got. 1701 from Mike Dell. Castomatic. He says, alternate feed tag. Yes, I'm on it.
Alternate feed tag.
Boost.
Alternate feed tag. Yeah.
We're on it, Mike. I'm posting in the Git. I'm back in the namespace now. Unai Gomez, 4321 sats through Podverse. He says, you guys are making so much sats. Here's some more sats.
Yeah. Give me some sats. Give me some sats.
Sat streamers.
Stream no sats.
He's piling Boost. On.
Huh?
Gene Bean. 1337 Leap Boost through Castomatic. He says, could you make an API endpoint that returns a JSON hash of all the bucket-like things where each object has a title as the key and a sub-object with the URL and a description of what it is, aka something like stats, URL, this, description URL, this other thing. Oh, okay. That's actually,
what is that? I don't understand.
So he's wanting an endpoint in the API where he can where you can request all the various bits of stuff that we publish in object storage. Oh. They're just sort of like single downloads, like a stats file is located here.
Oh.
The podcast, the value for value stats page is here. The music chart is here.
So it's an info endpoint.
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah. I can do that. Yeah. Yeah. Because I've been looking for a way to make that stuff more easily findable too. Yeah. Let me make a note of that.
Info API endpoint.
Yes. Yeah, sure, Gene. That sounds like a great idea. Cole McCormick, 3333 through Fountain. He says, the Wave Lake talk is interesting. I just had an interview with an artist who considered Wave Lake to be posting his music on the Lightning Network. Had to let him in on the podcasting revolution. Noster was never a thing, in my opinion, so hopefully they stop talking about it and be a modern music host similar to Podhome.
Oh, that is kind of my dream.
I just feel like, honestly, with all of the Bitcoin-based companies, I feel like Noster has just been a gigantic distraction of time and money.
It was an interesting interview on the power, the Phantom Power Business Hour, I think, and they had on J55's wife, who does marketing, and it was kind of interesting because it became more and more apparent that, you know, that they're really a solution looking for a problem. Yeah. You know, and everyone sees that, you know, the Bitcoin thing, it's just like, you know, it opens up a wallet when you click on the Zap thing. It's like, okay, you know, can't we do that on Twitter too?
Let's look what you said, Alex. It's just like, it's not bringing anything new to the table. It's just the same old thing.
And so Damas has 25,000 users. That is download. I don't know if that's active users. It feels, when I look at Noster, it feels like 5,000 tops. Just doesn't feel like much. I mean, you know, and the unique selling point is, you know, censorship resistant. Okay.
I would argue that ActivityPub is more censorship resistant than Noster all day long. I mean,
yeah. I would not take the other side of that argument.
Yeah. You know,
because you're right.
Because, I mean, it's like Alex said, it's centralized HTTP. So
the sage has spoken.
The sage has repeated what Alex said. Gene Bean, 111 sats, says, I'm digging the sound and feel of this song. Nice find, Adam.
Oh, is that Abby again? Probably. Yeah. She's already at the top of the chart.
I tried Gene again, 2222, he says, I tried boosting about value blocks and broke stuff because it was over 700 characters. Here's a link to the content of the original boost instead. Oh, I got to go link to something. Wait, here we go.
Yeah, there's limits to what you should be doing in boostograms. These are the people who send the same. Jack Gene Bean is the kind of guy who sends me a 1 gig movie through email. Cool, man. Look at this.
Gene Bean has a lot to say. See, I wonder if this is too long. So speaking of value blocks, what became of making an API endpoint that provides a version of my RSS feed enhanced with value blocks shown via Podcaster Wallet? Did we say we were going to do that? I don't think so. He says, I'm thinking about trying Podhome and would love for them to be able to import my feed that doesn't have. I know what he's talking about. And he's talking about like what we're having where for Podcaster Wallet, if you wanted to move the splits for the old episodes, wouldn't be there.
Yeah. Oh, and right.
So we're going to export it out. I forgot to do that. Man, I don't like this episode.
Hashtag Dave to do.
I got homework. Yeah, seriously. I got homework now. Let's see. XML.
VB. We should put that hashtag in the item. Of this episode. You know, just every episode.
I think you're right. Because every episode my list gets longer. I think this is correct.
It'll ruin your list though.
I'll just ignore it like I always do. 2222, Jacob. through Podverse. Fantastic idea to use time splits and through them direct messaging to advertisers.
Yeah, yeah, it worked. It looks like Pod News got more advertising. Just keeps on going with Hindenburg.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Franco, that's Franco Solerio for Castomatic. He sent 500 sats and he says, girls rock.
Okay, Frank. I replied to him, actually. that showed up as a reply. I replied to him in helipad. I said, oh, nice. Yes, here's 1,000 sats. Yes, they do.
You're out of control now with this reply thing.
I know. I'm sending money back. Send me money. I'll send it back.
Now you're gonna. This is just another way for you to send lots of money to people.
I love it. So much fun.
Franco again, 15,000 sats. This time he says love and sats.
Wow, thanks, Franco.
Oh, and we got a comic strip blogger,
the Delimiter,
34,000 through Fountain. He says, "Howdy, bros, Dave and Adam. No agenda social. The little server that could until it couldn't. Shared memes." Please. That's like saying you contributed to culture by forwarding chain mails. But hey, thanks for the memories, No Agenda Social. You'll be remembered like that one song everyone skips in their playlist but never deletes. What now? Follow CSB, just 3 letters on X, formerly known as Twitter for cartoons without baboons. Or visit his blogo at www.csb.lol! Yo, CSB!
All right, CSB. And we have two late boostergrams coming in from Nathan G, 2222. Dave came here to build a bridge and work on Fave 7, and he's all out of bridge.
Yeah. And I'm never out of bridge. I've always got more bridge.
And D's Laughs came at D's Laughs. He's my man, D's Laughs. He's in the Value Verse, Value for Value Music, little cool little bits. End of show mixes for No Agenda, 1,000 sats. He says, since leaving my corporate jobs, this is the only board meeting I can sit through. Much love to the podcasters. Understandable. All right.
Lincoln sent a note in his 20,000 sats and he says, whoa, regarding question for Alex, forgot to edit my boost amount. But I don't see a question for Alex anywhere, do you?
Yeah, I have it here. Hold on a second. Okay, hold on, let me scroll down. Question topic for Alex to opine on. The use of a specific boost bot has been contentious. Oh boy. Alex, get ready. As it has been, and I know, we all know Alex. I love Alex, but I know he's right. Oh, get ready, Alex. The use of a specific boost bot has been contentious as it is seen as a hack and not aligned with open source and decentralization. Instead, it will be preferable to share boost messages and amounts through an open protocol like ActivityPub for transparency, interoperability, and sustainability in the podcasting ecosystem. Go podcasting.
This is about fountain boost, fountain comments.
Yes, I think that's what is meant by this.
I mean, they could publish to ActivityPub and they don't. That's all there is to it. And also,
this is why I love you, Alex, because it's like one boil it all down into playlists one either. Simple. Oh yeah, that's another thing. So. Tell me about that, Alex, because you were messaging about that earlier about playlists.
Yeah, to be clear, we should probably check again. But my understanding is they don't publish their playlists as RSS feeds, which would be really easy to do, and that would allow the playlist to be shared across apps.
Well, you know what's interesting is we're seeing both Fountain and True Fans kind of emerging as platforms. Which, you know, I have thoughts about, because, you know, there's, and I'll take True Fans as the example. Sam Sethi says, oh, look, your publisher feed is here. And so I have not published anything. He has made a reasonable estimation of which shows I am the publisher of, and they show up in their platform, and I can go into some back-end admin, and I can change those. And I think they are exportable, or they will be exportable as an RSS feed. It's just interesting. Interesting how he is, and I think he actually calls True Fans now a platform. But the playlists, what I don't like about what I've seen of the playlists on Fountain is they are they're getting a split that doesn't really go through the split system.
Oh, it's like an internal allocation?
I believe so, yeah. Which is not really the transparency that we desire. Because I think music playlists are going to be very big. We have a medium. Yeah. We have a medium type forum. Is that Music L? Is that a playlist? Is it Music L? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Music L. So publishing those back would be great, and then put the split in from the person who created it, so they can, you know, they can start. So more apps can ingest this. The artists do better, and your quote unquote customer gets money back into their wallet on Fountain. So yeah, exportability would be nice. I agree.
And publish it. We could do it for clips too.
Same.
People say they love Fountain clips. They could publish them if they wanted to.
Well, I think we should nominate you to their board. I'm going to buy some shares and put you in as an activist investor.
Oh, then I'd have to like Noster. So.
Wow. Oh, woo.
It's a hostile takeover, but it's more like.
Do we have any one-offs, Dave?
We got some monthlies. Yeah, monthlies, we definitely do. Yeah, we got Drip Scott, $15. Bruce Wayne of podcasting. He's got Michael Kimmerer, $5.33. Thank you, Michael. Jordan Dunville, $10. Thank you, Jordan. Kevin Bay, $3.43 from the Monthly Endowment Fund.
Yes.
James Sullivan, $10. Christopher Reamer, $10. Sean McCune, $20. Thank you, Sean. Cohen Glotzbach, $5. Michael Goggin, $5. And Charles Current, $5. Good group.
Very good group. Thank you all for supporting Podcasting 2.0. The podcast is the gateway to your support for the entire project. Everything goes towards servers, etc. Dave and Adam take nothing. We will give away some liquidity if you need it. If you need a channel from, because we definitely want to support people using other types of wallets just to decentralize more and more. Hit me up, Adam at podcastindex.org, Adam at curry.com if you need liquidity. Happy to help you out. People are like, you know, I don't want to get liquidity. This is what we're here for. It's all on the node. It stays there for that very reason. You can go to podcastindex.org down at the bottom. There's two red donate buttons, one for the massive amounts of on-chain Bitcoin people have been wanting to send us and never do. And the other one is for your fiat fund coupons for PayPal. We really appreciate all of our supporters and appreciate you, Alex Gates, for all that you have done since pretty much day one. Haven't you been here from day one? I forgot. When did you come into our orbit?
I was a little late. I started 2021.
Oh, really?
After I stood up NoGenitube, actually. Hmm. That's kind of when I wanted to make the podcasting 2.0 feeds. And that's kind of when I started with... I saw Dave was posting about the alternate enclosure, and I fixed it.
You fixed it. It's like, oh, Dave, I gotta fix it. Gotta fix what he's doing. Yeah, okay.
No, that's mostly how this goes. I half-ass something, and then Alex fixes it. That's pretty much the way this goes.
Well, we appreciate you very much, brother. All that you're doing for the project and for podcasting, because it really is. You're making a huge difference in the world to a lot of people. Take it. Just take it.
I just want to build the apps I want to use. So that's all it is.
That's how you get the best stuff.
Sure is. Brother Dave, thank you so much. Appreciate you. And thank you both for coming to the board meeting on Saturday. Thank you everyone else in the boardroom for being with us. And we'll have a regular board meeting next Friday. So please join us there. Thank you so much, gents.
Yeah, thanks, man. It's been a good week.
It has been a good week. Everybody, congratulations on the progress. It has been a good week.
Yeah, I think Alex is right. I think it's valid. I think the thing with Apple was validating for everybody in the project. Yep.
They said it couldn't happen. They said the big boys will never come in. We showed them, didn't we? See you next week on the board meeting. Till then, adios.
Podcasts are cool. You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting!
Oh my gosh.